Good morning. This morning's sermon passage is Matthew 6:19-24. I'd encourage you all to turn there with me. It won't be up on the screen. In the red Bibles, you can find it on page 685. In the black Bibles, it is 971. Before I read, let me pray for us. Our glorious triune God, you are here with us now. You speak to us through your word. This morning, may you open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we may hear you with ears of faith and allow your word to sink deep into our hearts. We pray this for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 6, reading from verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. There are two treasures, two visions, and two masters. That's a basic summary of Jesus' teaching here about money and possessions in his Sermon on the Mount. Two treasures, two visions, two masters. Well, together, let's take a look at these three images that Jesus, our teacher, is teaching us this morning. So firstly, there are two treasures. We see this in verses 19 to 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. The two treasures are easy to spot, aren't they? Treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. What are treasures on earth? Well, it seems that they seem to be anything that can be stolen, destroyed, or lost. Treasures on earth are simply money, property, and possessions. What are treasures in heaven? Well, they seem to be that which cannot be destroyed, lost, or stolen. It's those things that have eternal value, things that believers can possess beyond the grave. Knowledge of Christ and a Christ-like character, souls won for Christ, eternal rewards for faithful service to Christ. That is storing up treasure in heaven. So there are two kinds of treasure we can store up: treasure on earth, which will not last, and treasure in heaven, which will last for all eternity. So Jesus isn't against us storing up treasure. He's just telling us not to be foolish, but to be wise with the type of treasure we are storing up. Now, this brings us to the very heart of the treasure principle, the topic of our current series. So remember from last week, the treasure principle says you cannot take it with you. You cannot take earthly treasures with you beyond this life into the next. So money, property, possessions. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can use your money, property, and possessions to be storing up treasures in heaven. That is the treasure principle. Don't waste your time and energy storing up treasure on earth that will not last. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven that will last forever. And last week, Hilton gave us the first key of the treasure principle. God owns everything. I'm his money manager. My money, my property, my possessions, even my life is not mine. It's all God's. I am only managing it for him. I am his servant. And this morning, we come to the second key in the treasure principle, which is this. My heart always follows, always goes where I put God's money. The key is stated by Jesus in verse 22. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Sorry, that's verse 21. So treasure principle key number two is this. My heart always goes to where I put God's money. Now, this should not surprise us. This is nothing new because we know it from everyday life, don't we? If we pay to become a member of an AFL team, we are more inclined to go along to the matches and to support that team. When we book tickets and accommodation to a holiday, we instantly become more interested in the destination. There's a big difference between owning a house and renting a house. When we own the house, we are far more invested in it. It's this principle. Our heart always follows our money. Randy Alcorn says it's a matter of basic physics, right? Think of the sun and the planets orbiting it. The greater the mass, the greater the hold that mass exerts. So the more things we own, the bigger our savings account is, the bigger, more impressive, more expensive our house is, the greater its total mass. And the more these things grip us, setting us in orbit around them. Our money, property, and possessions can become like this black hole, sucking us into them if we are not careful. But when we use God's money to invest in eternal things, we break out of this orbit around our wealth and possessions, we escape their gravity, and we enter into a new orbit around our treasures in heaven. Jesus is teaching us a life-changing principle here. Money, wealth, and possessions are an incredibly powerful force. And the way we handle our finances affects the entire direction of our life. Let me say that again. You need to get this. The way we handle our finances affects the entire direction of our life. It can keep us anchored here on earth, or it can set us on a trajectory to heaven. So where are you storing your treasure? Are you storing for yourself treasure on earth or in heaven? Because wherever you're storing your treasure, your heart will always follow. We see the same principle play out in Jesus' teaching on the two visions. So verses 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. The two kinds of vision are obvious, aren't they? There is healthy vision, full of light, and there is unhealthy vision, full of darkness. Healthy vision comes when we fix our eyes on the right thing. So as Jesus teaches down in verse 33, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's what it means to have healthy vision with clear sight. But unhealthy vision comes when we fix our eyes on all the wrong things. We worry about food and drink and clothing, as Jesus teaches below. Unhealthy vision is focused on money and possessions. And this type of person is blind. They're lost in darkness. But here's the key to the principle. Our vision doesn't just affect our eyes. It affects our entire bodies. Almost everything our body does depends on our ability to see. We know this from our everyday experience. If we want to be good at ball sports, we currently have our youth and young adults at the state youth games. They're playing ball sports. If they want to win and succeed, they have to keep their eye on the ball. If we want to drive our car in a straight line, we can't be looking at our phones and we can't be nodding off and falling to sleep. We have to keep our eyes on the road. If we want our handwriting to be legible for other people, we need to see what we are writing. Here's the thing. If we have physical vision, we can see what we're doing and where we're going. And it's also the same with our spiritual vision. If our spiritual perspective is clear, focused on God and his kingdom, then we have light. We can see what we're doing and where we're going. But if our spiritual vision has become clouded, then our lives are lost in darkness. We cannot see what we're doing or where we are going. We're spiritually blind. Treasure principle number two. Our heart always goes where we put God's money. Or to state it another way, our lives always follow our vision. So what are we seeking? Have we fixed our eyes on God and his kingdom? Or are we more focused on our savings, our possessions, our investments? There are two treasures, two visions, and finally, two masters. We see this in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. There is no confusing who the two masters are here, God or money. God or mammon, as the old King James Version puts it. Jesus is using a transliteration from the Aramaic, and it simply means wealth, property, and possessions. And so Jesus is picturing money here as a slave owner. Jesus' message is summed up in that old Bob Dylan song, "You've got to serve somebody." And you cannot serve both. You can't have split allegiance. It might be possible to have two employers, but it's not possible to have two masters. It's like trying to support Collingwood and Carlton if they're against each other in the AFL Grand Final. You cannot divide your allegiance like that. In the end, you have to choose one team over the other. It would be like trying to fight for the Axis and the Allies in World War II at the same time. It's not possible. It can't work. In the end, you have to pick a side. Well, it's the same with God and money. You have to serve one and you cannot serve both. We either dedicate our lives to accumulating our own wealth, or we dedicate our lives to serving God and living for him. This decision is crucial because it's a matter of love and devotion. To choose money and possessions and property over God is essentially a rejection of God in favor of the wealth that he gives us. Instead of loving God, we use God to get what we can out of him. And Jesus, he uses the words of hating and despising him. But if we choose God over money, then wealth and material possessions become insignificant. We would rather give these things back to the God we love. Treasure principle number two. Our heart always goes where we put God's money. Or to put it another way, our love and devotion always goes to the one that we serve. Do we love and are we devoted to God? Or are we lovers of money, knowing that the love of money leads to all kinds of evil? Friends, Jesus is teaching us this morning that there are two treasures, two visions, and two masters. And as his disciples, we need to ask ourselves these three questions. There are two treasures. Where are we storing? There are two visions. What are you seeking? There are two masters. Who are you serving? God has given us this wealth, money, property, and possessions. It's all his. He's given it to us to manage. And the question is, how are we going to manage it? Are we storing, seeking, and serving money, accumulating wealth, property, and possessions all for ourselves, or are we storing, serving, and seeking the Lord, investing in his kingdom and his righteousness? Are we investing in treasures in heaven? Jesus is challenging his disciples. Choose this day whom you will serve, God or money. Now, please don't mishear me here. There is nothing wrong with spending money on ourselves. We need to feed, clothe, house, and transport our families, don't we? But the question is, what do we do when the basics have been taken care of? Are we using finances to accumulating treasures on earth, or are we using our finances to gain treasures in heaven? Friends, we must not underestimate the importance of this. How you use your finances have life-changing implications. It's a question of ultimate destiny, really. Yes, it's true that my heart always goes to where I put God's money, but it's not just my heart. It's my vision, my body, my love, my life, my devotion, my entire being always goes to where I put God's money. As Randy Alcorn puts it, as surely as the compass needle follows north, your heart will follow your treasure. Money leads, hearts follow. The practical application of this teaching should be obvious. Jesus is saying to us, show me your bank account, your expenses, your giving, and your receipts, and I'll show you where your heart is. If you reflect on your finances this week, this week my challenge is to you is to consider how you use your finances. Look at your bank account and your receipts. Reflect on your expenses and your giving. That will tell you where your heart is. And as you reflect on your finances this week, you may realize that you have been storing up for yourselves treasures on earth. But if that's you, it's not too late to change how it is that you handle your money and possessions. It's not too late to reinvest and start storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But be warned, know this, as you do reinvest in treasure in heaven, you will begin to change. It will cause you to grow more excited about heaven, more in love with God, and more committed to building his kingdom and serving him. Why? Because your heart always goes to where you put God's money. Death of a Miser is a 15th century painting by Hieronymus Bosch. It can be found in the National Gallery of Art in Washington. I've got some close-ups here. In the foreground of the painting, Bosch depicts the miser in full health. He is storing up and accumulating. He is hoarding gold, putting it in his treasure chest or in his money chest. You'll notice that it is depicted abounding with demons around it. In the background of the painting, death now looms over the miser in flowing robes. His final hours have arrived, and with him, one final temptation. An angel is at his side, pointing the miser to the crucifix in the window. A slender beam of light is descending from it, as though calling the miser heavenward. Does the miser reach out to Jesus, to the light, to heaven in his final moments? No. Rather, the miser is reaching for a bag of gold on offer to him by a demon lurking in the shadows. The miser's folly is spectacular. Sir, you are on your deathbed. Within an hour, you will have left this world and you cannot take your treasure with you. What on earth are you thinking? In the end, the miser is not thinking at all. He is a slave to gold. He is blinded by wealth. His heart is simply following his treasure. Brothers and sisters, in the end, God isn't really interested in the miser's money. It's his already. God created everything and he owns everything. God doesn't want the miser's money. God wants the miser's heart. And it's the same with us. God isn't interested in our money. He isn't looking for more donors. He doesn't need our money to achieve his purposes. God didn't send his son Jesus to save our wallets. He sent Jesus to save us. God is looking for children. He is seeking a family. He is after a relationship. God wants our hearts. Our love, our lives, our devotion. God loves us and he wants us. That is why Jesus is teaching us these things in Matthew chapter 6. So friend, do you want your heart to be with God? If so, be wise with how you use your money and possessions. Key number two of the treasure principle is this. My heart always goes where I put God's money. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, because through his life, death, and resurrection, we can come into your family. We can have a relationship with you. But Father, this morning through the teaching of your Son, you have given us this warning to be careful with how we handle our finances. Help us to be using our finances in such a way that our hearts are directed towards you, towards heaven. May we not be lovers of money, but may we love and be devoted to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.